France and Google square up in a European court to argue over the right to be forgotten online. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. France is headed to the European Court of Justice today to establish whether it can force companies like Google to remove the data of EU citizens worldwide. Now, France says the right to be forgotten online is meaningless unless it's global. Tech companies could face fines of up to 4% of annual revenue worldwide if they break European privacy laws. Oliver Smith is a senior reporter for Forbes Europe.
At the moment, the right to be forgotten covers you in your own country. So if there's a story, if there's something on Google that you are not happy with, you can challenge that. Now, if this law changes, it means that you can challenge that not just in your own country, but anyone who Googles you anywhere in the world. And that has huge implications. People are worried about countries that are less democratic challenging to get things taken down. And once something's taken off Google, it essentially disappears from the internet. Google has always been a champion of free speech, that core American value. Whereas in Europe, we tend to hold privacy to a higher level. They get millions of requests already they've had in the last few years to take down information. Now, if this is extended worldwide, though, that number could rise massively.
Oliver Smith, a Google spokesman, said this morning maintaining cross-border data flows are, quote, ubiquitous and essential for global economic activity. Let's do the numbers. The British pound hit its highest level in more than a month against the US dollar this morning after the European Union's chief Brexit negotiator said a deal with the UK might be reached as early as November. Adding to sentiment are figures showing that as employment fell, wages grew at 2.9% from May to June, beating expectations. Meanwhile, Hong Kong's Hang Seng fell into a bear market. It's down 20% from a recent high as investors await a US decision on another round of tariffs on Chinese imports. Now, from today, Venezuelans can buy savings certificates backed by gold. They cost up to $100. Venezuela has been in deep recession since 2014, driven by government policy and plunging oil prices. The BBC's Vladimir Hernandez is from Venezuela.
The government is just trying to offer a way where people can keep their money safe. They want to keep it in local currency and in a way to sort of compete with the US dollar, which is normally the safe haven for everyone who's got a bit of cash left.
So in a country where many people are struggling to eat, how many are going to be able to purchase these certificates?
Well, that's the main question. When President Maduro recently, he bought the first certificate and he said, right, so this is it. This is how you do it. It's very simple. There's going to be a booth outside the central bank where you just go, you put your papers in and all of that. But when you look at what the minimal sort of into this policy is, it's almost about, what, $60? And that's twice the monthly minimum wage for anyone. And let's bear in mind that the minimum wage has just been increased 3,000%. It tends to be said that it's government officials who really have the money. The US has been saying this just recently in the UN, that there's a lot of corruption in the government and those are the people who have the money. It just leads to questions that how come you have all this money when the vast majority of Venezuelans cannot?
Now, we focus a lot on Venezuela's economic policies, most of which people have no faith in. What about the human cost, the impact? What are people at home saying about their prospects next month and the month after?
And it's probably fair to say that people are living on the day. They just don't know what's going to happen next week, if at all. Venezuela must be one of the few countries where every time the government raises the minimum wage, people despair. So I know personal contacts of mine who, when the minimum wage was taken up 3,000%, they had to shut down their own companies. And I'm not talking about big, massive industries. I'm talking about a butcher, a fishmonger, a bakery, where people are just saying, I just can't pay my employees 3,000 more because my income is being liquefied by an inflation rate which is going to end the year in 1,000,000%. It's just absolutely unsustainable. The economy in Venezuela right now is just, yeah, it's just madness.
Vladimir Hernandez. Lehman Brothers, one of the world's biggest investment banks, collapsed, triggering other collapses or near collapses of giants like AIG. Adam Tooze is author of Crashed, How a Decade of Financial Crises Changed the World.
There has not been a crisis as dangerous as September 2008 looked ever before in the history of capitalism, full stop, ever. It was much, much more dramatic than any moment in 1929 through 33, because it was all of the big banks simultaneously on a huge scale, on a time scale of hours. It's like a runaway chain reaction in a nuclear pile. We've seen some bad ones so far, but this is far worse than Chernobyl or Fukushima or any of those things.
So that's why this week on the BBC and on Marketplace, we're looking at how the legacy of Lehman's collapse affects us today. whether it's debt, housing or regulation. Tweet us with the hashtag BBC Marketplace. How did 2008 change your financial life? And tune in this week. Finally, another anniversary that affects us globally, the 9/11 attacks 17 years ago today. And according to a Defense Department report, the collective wars in Afghanistan, Iraq and Syria have cost U.S. taxpayers more than $1.5 trillion. In London, I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report live from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.